Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tomorrow, let's bring in Oriole first baseman Trey Mancini. Trey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing all right. Appreciate the time. And we'll start with the bad stuff that happened on Monday and yesterday. Now, you had three hits last night, but Terry and I were talking about Kluber and Carrasco. From your perspective in the batter's box, how tough, how difficult are those guys to get a read on?
They're really tough. It was my first time facing both of them, obviously since I had never faced the Indians before in my major league career. But, I mean, they're both, I mean, as advertised from what I had seen, Kluber to start just, he puts the ball where he wants, and he's confident in throwing any of his pitches in any count, and he gets great movement on everything. His fastball moved a lot, and then he's got a cutter and a slurvy breaking ball that are all very good, and he keeps you off balance. And like I said, he just didn't miss his spots. He pitched really, really well. And Carrasco yesterday, kind of the same thing. I mean, really, really good stuff. And it's hard to recognize out of his hand what the pitch is going to be. I pretty much saw a white ball every time he released it, and usually you see some spin from the start, but with him it was almost like he released it and you couldn't really recognize it until it was almost too late, so you kind of almost had to make an educated guess sometimes.
Trey, you have been obviously quite successful so far, my friend, so congratulations to you on that.
Thank you.
Here is the one thing I want to ask you. Now that you're in the grind, you're moving through June, what has been the toughest thing as now a major league hitter, basically getting your four or five ABs almost nightly now? What is the toughest adjustment you've had to make to the major leagues?
I would say it's, knowing who the pitcher, because you're facing different guys every night who bring different things to the table, and they study every hitter, and they know, they have a plan of attack. So it's kind of making adjustments day to day based on who's throwing to you. They get to know your tendencies very quickly here, and you have to adjust to that. And as April went on, pitchers really adjusted, and I had a hard time kind of, switching my approach, and I had started to get exposed a little bit, and then finally kind of took a step back and looked at what I was doing at the plate. And, I was getting a lot of off speed, kind of low and away, and, kind of adjusted to that and started to hit a little better, hit those pitches a little better. So I'd say still it's taking it day by day and seeing what a certain pitcher is going to throw to you. Because one guy might do that, and then the next guy might hammer fastballs into you the next day, and you have to be ready for that too. So it's the everlasting adjustments.
Trey Mancini, the Orioles, joining us here on 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Terry Ford on this Throwback Thursday. Now that the stuff that the pitchers had recognized you were struggling with, was that an issue for you in the minor leagues?
Yeah, it was. And it's something that everybody goes through, and you go through it a few times every year. Baseball naturally comes with struggles. Hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things to do in sports because you're naturally going to be successful less times than you are. So it's kind of mentally staying in check and trusting yourself and knowing what you need to do. In the minors and in AAA last year, towards the end of the season in August, I went through a really tough time, just trying to do too much and kind of coming out of myself a little bit. And in hindsight, that taught me a lot about, how to kind of keep yourself in check mentally and to just take it one at bat and one pitch at a time.
Trey, going through the minors, speaking of the minor leagues, all you did in the minors was hit. Every level, you always, when the season was over, you had numbers. But, you know, when you looked at all these fancy top 100 prospect rankings and ratings, you were never coming up on any of that stuff. And there were some guys who, for whatever the reasons were posting on those kind of rankings, but you weren't. And all you were doing was producing through the minors. A, did you pay attention to that stuff? B, if you did it bug you? And C, if it did bug you, you can admit to it now. We're good.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was aware that I wasn't on any of those lists. And honestly, I kind of got used to it from an early age. Like, coming out of high school, I didn't get offers from any Florida schools. And I ended up at Notre Dame, which was the best thing that ever happened to me. I loved it there. But it kind of started then. And then I don't know what it was. I think just being a right-handed first baseman, naturally, that kind of it's hard to break into those lists, I feel like. You just kind of get labeled as being not athletic, kind of uncoordinated, and that just kind of is attached to you for a while for whatever reason. And I was okay with that. I never put too much merit into those lists anyway. It was nothing I would lose sleep over by any means. I knew if I hit and played good defense and kept doing that at every level that I'd make the major leagues, and it didn't really matter to me if I was on that list or not.
Trey Mancini of the Orioles joining us here, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Terry Ford. Now, you mentioned first base. You're back there now because Chris Davis is on the DL, but you've played outfield, left field a lot this season. We knew that was going to be a position change for you. Your bat has certainly kept you in the lineup, but tell us about the adjustment from first base to left field and, you know, understanding the nuances of playing left field at Camden Yards, which can be rather spacious.
Right. It's obviously very different from first base, which is all I had played my whole professional career. So it was definitely an adjustment, but luckily Wayne Kirby worked with me every single day, and I learned something new from him, and Brady Anderson as well, during spring training helped me a lot. Between the two of them, I felt really good about the switch out there. But yeah, it's much different, and I think the hardest part was getting a good read off the ball from contact. It's sometimes, you know, you just don't know where the ball's going to go, especially in the stadiums with the upper deck. The depth perception can be a little tough off the bat. So I think that was kind of the hardest thing at first. But then you get a better idea of, you know, getting a good jump on the ball and holding your ground and reading it before you really take off, because the outfield's all about angles and getting to the ball as efficiently as possible. So I think that's like the toughest adjustment, was just getting a good read right off contact.
Now, obviously, you've played a ton of first base and you're new at this outfield thing. But if they look at you and say, "Man, we think we just want to keep you in the outfield forever," you'll be okay with that? You're gonna be able to make that adjustment? Because you did much better than a lot of people thought you would do to go out there and play the outfield.
Right. I mean, that was fine by me. I will do whatever they ask me to, as long as it keeps me here. I'm really have enjoyed learning and being out there. Yeah, that's something that I would be completely fine with. If they wanted me to stay out there, then by all means, I'm ready to do that.
Yeah, real quick, you know, we talk about coming up and you know, being a prospect and a rookie, and they make you wear women's clothes and go to the airport and all those things the vets do to you and stuff like that. But the Orioles have a great clubhouse dynamic, and tons of folks talk about that. Who was like the first guy, the first vet to bring you in, kind of give you a noogie and kind of start mentoring you around?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have imagined a better group of people to get acquainted in like a major league setting and major league clubhouse with than these guys. I can't say enough about every single person on this team. It's been incredible. And I guess in a couple different areas, like last year when I came up, Caleb Joseph definitely, you know, from the start made me feel comfortable and gave me some advice. And he's just like a great guy to have around and lighten the mood and everything. And I also talked Mark Trumbo's been a guy who I you know, have really come to respect, and I learn a lot from him every day. He'll come up to me, and because he's faced most of these pitchers that we play every day, and he'll tell me some of their tendencies and what to look for from them. So he's somebody that really helps me out a lot too.
Now, Trey, before we let you roll, I know the game was a tough one for the Orioles, losing 5-1. But before the game, Luke Terry, 14 years old, we were talking about him earlier on the program. He's out of Tennessee. He's a catcher. And for people that did not see or hear the story earlier, had his right arm amputated as an infant, but yet has worked his way into playing baseball behind the plate, no less. How cool was that, seeing Jim Palmer throw to Luke Terry at Camden Yards?
Yeah, that was incredible. And it was really cool to have him here yesterday. And it goes to show that, you know, from an athletic standpoint, you know, seeing somebody with one arm, he doesn't let that affect him at all. And he goes out and plays hard every day, and he's a catcher. And it puts things into perspective that, you know, sometimes we can think things may be difficult or you know, it could be slumping, but you can always fight through it. I mean, anything's possible. And for him to be as successful as he is was really cool. It was great to have him around yesterday.
And also, speaking of you know, fighting through things, the young fella Mo, who's known Mo from Glenbury here. Yeah. And you guys as a team have kind of embraced Mo and, you know, his fight.
Absolutely, yeah. Every game I have, I actually wear his wristband, the orange Mo Strong wristband, on my left wrist. So, yeah, we definitely support him, and he's welcome here at any time as well, of course.
Trey Mancini, the Orioles. Trey, we appreciate your time. We know you guys got to get ready for that series finale against Clevinger and the Indians. Congratulations on the big first half. Hopefully it takes you down to Florida and the All-Star game. A team first, still two games out of the wild card. I guess you guys say that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wide open race, man.
All right, Trey, thanks. Trey. Good luck tonight.
See you, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.